الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب الجفاء عن القرآن، باب الجفاء عن القرآن، the chapter on having negligence with the Quran. الجفاء عن القرآن، ويقال الجفاء بالقرآن، to be negligent with regards to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is similar to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in his book with regards to the affair of Hajru al-Qur'an. Hajru al-Qur'an, abandoning the Qur'an or turning one's back on the Qur'an. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. And the messenger, he will say, صلى الله عليه وسلم, O my Lord, indeed my people, they have abandoned, turned their backs on the Quran. They have abandoned and turned their backs on the Quran. So this is from that aspect. هجروا القرآن وليذ بالله والجفاء بالقرآن وليذ بالله, to be negligent with regards to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. To be negligent and to abandon, to turn away from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he discussed this issue in some brief detail and benefit in his book, Al-Fawaid. And he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, Hajru al-Qur'an anwa'. Hajru al-Qur'an anwa'. To abandon, to turn one's back on the Qur'an is different types, different aspects. And he meaning being negligent with regards to fulfilling the rights related to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it occurs in different manners. He says, أَحَدُهَا هَجْرُ سَمَاعِهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَالْإِصْغَاءِ إِلَيْهِ. From the first aspect of being negligent and abandoning or turning one's back on the Qur'an is to abandon listening to it and believing in it and paying any attention to it whatsoever. That a person, he will turn away from it in entirety, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, and disbelieve in it. He will not listen to it nor care to learn it or have any concern for it whatsoever. And this is from the worst aspect. This is from the worst aspect. What he says, rahimahullah, وَالثَّانِي حَجْرُ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ وَالْوُقُوفِ عِنْدَ حَلَالِهِ وَحَرَامِهِ. حَجْرُ الْعَمَلِ بِهِ وَالْوُقُوفِ عِنْدَ حَلَالِهِ وَحَرَامِهِ وَإِنْ قَرَأَهُ وَآمَنَ بِهِ. The second aspect is that a person, he would abandon applying it. He would abandon the application. The application of the Quran, and he will turn away from stopping at its limits and abiding by the halal and refraining and turning away from the haram, and he establishing that which is permissible and impermissible by way of creed first and foremost, by way of creed first and foremost, and then also an application by performing the obligations and remaining inside the limits that Allah has allowed, and by not transgressing the limits and going beyond that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, and not performing this or in turning away from this, a person, he is abandoning the Quran and he is being negligent in the Quran. Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَإِنْ قَرَأَهُ وَآمَنَ بِهِ, even if he recited it and believed in it. Even if he recited it and believed in it. Meaning that a believer, he can share in a portion of this lowly characteristic and trait, and it can be blameworthy from this aspect of being negligent with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and being considered abandoning or turning his back on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one aspect or another. He said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَالثَّالِثُ هَجْرُ تَحْكِيمِهِ وَالتَّحَاكُمِ إِلَيْهِ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ. And the third aspect of being negligent and abandoning the Qur'an is to turn away from taking it as a judge and a rule in the affairs that one has in his life, in his worldly life, and likewise in his religious matters and affairs. That one, he would turn away from setting the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal as a judge in all of his affairs, and how he moves and how he deals with his issues and his disputes, and how he solves his problems, and that which he believes and he follows. And that which he believes and he follows, and taking the Quran as a judge, and he meaning the law and legislation that is found therein, in the affairs of the fundamentals of the religion, from creed and belief first and foremost, and likewise the subsidiary affairs from the actions and from the deeds. This is all from being negligent with regards to the Quran. The Quran, it is the judge, it is the rule, it is the law. And what he must abide by that in himself first and foremost, and in his family and those under his care, and likewise outside of that as well in all of his affairs and all of his dealings. So he says, وَاعْتِقَادُ أَنَّهُ لَا يُفِيدُ الْيَقِينُ وَأَنَّ أَدِلَّتَهُ لَفْظِيَّةُ لَا تُحَسِّلُ الْعِلْمِ. That a person, he would believe that the Quran does not bring about certainty, and that one, he will not receive certainty or achieve certainty by studying the Quran, and its evidences are only from the verbal aspect, and it does not bring about certain knowledge. I mean, what some of the people of innovation have claimed about the book of Allah, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So all of this is from abandoning the Quran and from turning one's back on the Quran and being negligent with regards to the book of Allah. He says, وَالرَّابِعُ حَجْرُ تَدَبُّرِهِ وَتَفَهُمِهِ وَمَعْرِفَةِ مَا أَرَادَ الْمُتَكَلِمُ بِهِ مِنْهُ. The fourth aspect, abandoning the Quran by turning away from pondering and reflecting over the book of Allah and striving to understand it, and striving to understand what is intended by the one who spoke it, meaning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal, he spoke the Quran. This is his words, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these words, they have meanings, great meanings, the best meanings, great guidance and light and benefit. So to turn away from striving to reflect on those meanings and understand them, this is a type of abandoning the Quran and turning one's back on it. Meaning, even if a person, he were to learn it and to recite it, to learn it and to recite it, and he learned the recitation and to recite it, to memorize it and the likes like this, yet he did not strive to understand its meanings, he did not strive to ponder and reflect over its verses, then he is considered abandoning the Quran from this aspect. And in reality, this is the whole wisdom from the revelation, and the purpose of the recitation is to ponder and to reflect and to benefit and to take admonition, and to ponder and to reflect and to benefit and take admonition. So by not reading the book of Allah with this intention, trying to ponder, trying to reflect, this is a type of hajr and a type of jafa bi kitabillahi azza wa jal, a type of abandoning and turning away, a type of negligence with the book of Allah azza wa jal. And if one reflects over this point here, you will find that this issue here will lead to other great aspects of negligence as well, from applying it and from acting upon it and from believing in its light and guidance. Because if a person, he does not understand it, how could he believe truly, and how could he implement and apply that which he does not understand, that which he does not understand? And the true fruit and blessing of the Quran, it comes from hearing the recitation with a heart that is open and alive, and pondering and reflecting over its meanings and thinking deeply until it sinks into the heart. And a person, he realizes without doubt that this is the words of his Lord, the words of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and great guidance and benefit. And his heart will crumble and crush and bow down before Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will taste the sweetness of faith. And he'll taste the sweetness of faith. So this is from the wisdom of that. So by turning away from reflecting and pondering over the Quran, this is great negligence. This is great negligence. He said, Rahimahullah, وَالْخَامِسُ حَجْرُ الْإِسْتِشْفَاءِ وَالتَّدَاوِي بِهِ فِي جَمِيعِ أَمْرَاضِ الْقَلْبِ وَأَدْوَائِهَا فَيُطْرَبُ شِفَاءُ دَائِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ وَيَهْجُرُ التَّدَاوِي بِهِ. And he mentioned here the fifth aspect of abandoning the Quran and being negligent with regards to the book of Allah is turning away from using it as a cure. هَجْرُ الْإِسْتِشْفَاءِ بِهِ, to abandon using it as a cure and a means of medication. هَجْرُ الْإِسْتِشْفَاءِ وَالتَّدَاوِي بِهِ, to turn away from using it as a cure, yani a means of curing the diseases, and a means of medicine and treatment. He said, because in the Quran is treatment and medication and a cure for all of the diseases of the heart. So all of the diseases of the heart and its cures are found in the Quran. So a person, he will abandon that. He will abandon the Quran, and he will seek the cure for his disease in another aspect, and turn away from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not only is the Quran a cure for the diseases of the heart and the soul, likewise it is a cure for the bodies. Likewise it is a cure for the bodies. So a person, he must not abandon the book of Allah. Rather, he should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take these lawful and legislated means in curing the diseases in his heart by reciting the book of Allah, or listening to the recitation and reflecting and pondering over its meanings, and learning its law and legislation, and taking oneself to account with regards to that, and striving to implement what one learns from the commandments of the Quran in application, and likewise what one learns from the prohibitions of the Quran in abstinence and avoiding those affairs and staying away from them. In this manner, a person he can cure the diseases of his heart and his soul, and likewise recite the Quran and ponder over the verses of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal until his heart is cleansed and purified from being attached to anything in the creation. And his heart will be full of the love of Allah and showing preference to that which is beloved to Allah and seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. In this manner, his heart will become clean and pure, and his diseases will be cured by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the problems in his life will go away, and his worry and his stress and his grief and his problems and his nervousness and these affairs that he has in his mind and the likes like this, they'll go away by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever he learns the book of Allah, recites it truly with sincere faith, and believes in it and strives to apply it in his life. Many people, they become sick or they have problems in their life, and they find themselves anxious or nervous or not able to deal with stress and problems that they're facing, and they go to psychiatrists and they go to different means and sources. Many times they'll go to disbelievers to ask them to help them cure their problems. And the cure lies in sincere faith. The cure lies in sincere faith that the Quran clarifies and calls to. So one, he will not go to the disbelievers to find a cure for his heart or for the diseases of his soul. Maybe for the diseases of his body, yes, but even then, one, he will not neglect the Quran. Rather, he would also use the Quran in the legislative manner to cure the diseases and the ailments of his body, along with taking the other lawful means that Allah has allowed in the creation, in the universal decree, for curing the diseases of the body from the medications that are lawful and the treatments that are permissible. So he will first put his faith in Allah and then use the Quran as a ruqya, reciting on himself and or reciting on his loved ones and the likes like this. And then also along with that, taking the lawful means of medication and treatment that are permissible in the deen of Allah. So the point is that from abandoning the Quran and from being negligent with regards to the book of Allah, is not using it to cure one's diseases. It's not using it to cure the diseases and the ailments of the heart first and foremost, and the soul, and likewise the body, and likewise in the body. So a person, he must learn the religion. He must learn the lawful means in this life to deal with stress and problems in this life. And from that, is benefiting from the Quran in this manner by reciting it, seeking to cure the diseases of the heart, to cure the diseases of the heart, and likewise the ailments in the body. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَكُلُّ هَذَا دَاخِلٌ فِي قَوْلِهِ, and all of this is included in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي, إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. All of this is included in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the messenger, he will say, O my Lord, indeed my people have abandoned and turned away from this Quran. He said, Rahimahullah, وَإِن كَانَ بَعْضُ الْهَجْرِ أَهْوَنَ مِن بَعْضُ. Even if some aspects of abandoning the Quran is lighter than others, and some aspects of this hajr, and some aspects of negligence with regard to the book of Allah is more severe, and other aspects are less, but all of them are blameworthy. So a believer, he must strive to fulfill the rights with regards to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and establish the book of Allah in his life by learning how to recite it, and learning how to reflect and ponder over it, and learning the law and legislation that is found therein, so that he can learn how to apply it and abide by it in his life. In this particular portion, in this work by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book Al-Fawaid, he continued after this as well, after discussing these issues of how abandoning the Quran occurs and the different aspects of that. He mentioned also from that is Al-Haraj, wujud al-haraj fi sudur, the fact that a person will find hardship in his heart with regards to some of the verses or some of the rulings or the legislation that is found in the book of Allah. And many people, they will recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, but if certain verses are recited that go against their desires and whims, they find haraj in their heart. They get tight and they do not like to hear the likes of those verses or those topics and those issues. And the likes like this, like the innovators who deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever the verses that clearly establish the proper creed and belief and those attributes, they find hardship in their hearts, and they find problems with the likes of these verses, and they're uncomfortable whenever they hear them because they're contrary to their creed. And likewise, the people of whims and desires, and those who are overcome by the impermissible lusts, whenever the verses are recited that contradict with that which they love and desire from the worldly life or that which they are engaged in, while they know they're blameworthy and sinful. Many of them, because of a weakness in faith, they find haraj in their heart. They find haraj and haraj, any hardship in their chest. Wa'iyadhu billah, the people who are engulfed in interest. If you start mentioning the verses of interest, many of them, they become upset, or they become offended or take it personal, when in reality it's just sincere advice and the mention of the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. For example. So this is all aspects likewise of abandoning the Quran and being negligent with regards to the Book of Allah. So this is the chapter that the author is discussing now. Babun al-Jafa'u an al-Quran. Babun al-Jafa'u an al-Quran. The chapter on being negligent with regards to the Quran. And he being negligent in learning it and studying it and believing it and following it and applying it in one's life and thinking about it, reflecting upon it, pondering it. All of this is included in this issue here of being negligent. The author, he mentions, rahimahullah, and Samara ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu fi hadith al-ru'ya al-tawil marfu'a annahu qal, in the narration of Samara ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu, in a long narration about a dream that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the author here, he's summarizing this narration, which is in Sahih Bukhari. He's summarizing this narration, as he's mentioning here, it's a long narration. And the portion that is the evidence for this chapter, the author, he summarized it for this portion. But in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a number of individuals. He saw a number of individuals. Two angels came to him and awoke him from his sleep. Woke him up while he's sleeping. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him. And as they're going, they're passing by different individuals. Different individuals and different circumstances. And many of them are individuals being punished. From them, there's the kadhab. He passed by a person and he's lying on his back. And there's a man standing over him with a great iron hook. And he's going to the right side of his face. And he's ripping out his cheek from the right side, and his nostril from the right side, and his eye from the right side. Then he's going to the other side and doing the same thing on the other side. And then whenever he goes back to the right side again, it's all mended and back correct as it was before. And he continues to do that over and over and over. So he'll rip him with a hook, a man standing helpless on his back, a man lying helpless on his back, another man on top of him, above him with the iron hook, scraping, taking his mouth and ripping it to the right, and his nose and ripping it to the right, and his eye, wa'iyadhu billah, ripping it to the right, and then moving to the left side. By the time he's finished with the left side, the whole face is mended, and he continues the punishment in this manner. And then they leave. And then he says, who is that? And then he says, intalaq, and they leave. And then they go to a place where there's an oven, and there's people hanging naked in the oven, men and women, and they're screaming. And sometime the fire and the oven will rise, and they'll scream and they'll wail, and they'll call for help, and they will scream for help, and nothing will come. And then the fire will come down again, and then it will rise up again and burn them while they're hanging there up in the oven. Wa'iyadhu billah, naked, with no clothing on, burned in this manner, crying for help with no one to help them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is that? And he said, intalaq, come with me. And then he came across a river or some water that's all red, dark red, like blood. And there's a man swimming in it. And there's another person on the shore, and he has stones. And the man, he's swimming, he'll come over close to the shore and open his mouth. And then a man on the side, he will throw rocks in the man's mouth. They will hit him in his mouth and go in his mouth, and then he'll swim some more. And he'll come back, and the man will throw again another rock into his mouth. And these are from the individuals that were seen in this dream. And likewise, he came across another man in a garden. A very handsome man in the garden. All these children around him. All these beautiful, beautiful children around him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is that? And he said, intalaq, and leave. And then he came to another place, and he climbed up on top and seen a great mansion. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what's that? And it was said to him, that's your home. That's hadha manziluk. This is your home. And he said, "Da'ani adkhul." He said, let me go. I want to enter. He said, no, not now, but you're going to enter. He said, no, not now, but you are you're going to enter. This is the dream. And in this dream is this portion here that the author is mentioned. So all these issues here that I just summarized, barakallahu fikum, is mentioned in this long narration. But the point of evidence is that which the author, he has summarized here. So the narration, it says, أَتَانِي أَلَيْلَةَ آتِيَانِي وَإِنَّهُمَا أَبْتَعَثَانِي وَإِنَّهُمَا قَالَ لِي أَنْطَلَقْ. So tonight, two people, and either angels, they came to me. Two individuals that came to me tonight, meaning and their angels, and they woke me up. They woke me up, and they said to me, "Let's go." انطلق. وإني انطلقت معهما وإنا أتينا على رجل مضطجع وإذا آخر قائم عليه بصخرة. And then until we came to a man who's lying on his side, until we came to a man who's lying on his side, and there's another one standing over him with a stone. وَإِذَا هُوَ يَهْوِي بِصَخْرَةِ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ فَيَثْلَغُ رَأْسَهُ فَيَتَهَدْهَدُ الْحَجْرُ هَاهُنَا فَيَتْبَعُ الْحَجْرَ فَيَأْخُذُهُ فَلَا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَصِحَّ رَأْسُهُ كَمَا كَانَ ثُمَّ يَعُودُ عَلَيْهِ فَيَفْعَلُ بِهِ مِثْلَ مَا فَعَلَ الْمَرَّةَ الْأُولَى. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, and then I went with him, and we came to a man laying on his side. And there is another man standing over him with the stone, and he with the large rock. And he would reach down and throw it on his head, and he would smash his head with it. There's a man laying on his side. Another man on standing above him with a stone. He would throw the stone on his head while he's laying on his side. He would crush his head. فَيَتَهَدْهَدُ الْهَجْرُ هَاهُنَا. And then the rock would roll back over here. فَيَتْبَعُ الْهَجَرَ فَيَأْخُذُهُ فَلَا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى يُسِحَ رَأْسُهُ كَمَا كَانَ. And so the man, he will follow and go get the rock again, and he will bring it back, and he will not return back to that man except his head was correct and mended as the way it was before. Meaning that his head was crushed, and the rock will roll. And the man who threw the rock, he would go pick up the stone and bring it back. And by the time he gets back, the man, his head is mended again, and it's back to normal. ثُمَّ يَعُودُ عَلَيْهِ فَيَفْعَلُ بِهِ مِثْلَ مَا فَعَلَ الْمَرَّةَ الْأُولَى. And then that man, he would do the same thing to him again as he did the first time. Meaning that this is a type of punishment that continues. Like the one who was being punished in his mouth. Like the one who's being punished in his mouth, with the man standing over him, this is a similar situation. Meaning that this person, he's punished in this manner. And then the punishment doesn't cease. And meaning he doesn't die. His head is crushed, but he doesn't die so that the pain goes away, or so that the torment or the horror ceases. Rather, it's mended again. It comes back to normal so that that horrible and terrifying situation can occur again. You understand that? You must ponder over this right here. This is amazing. This is great punishment. He's helpless and cannot do anything. And whenever it's finally, imagine he's standing over his head with the stone. He can't defend himself until his head is crushed. Even then, there's no mercy for him and no hope, because by the time the man comes back, his head is mended again. And he finds himself in the same situation. A man standing over him with the stone ready to crush him. He's helpless and can't do nothing except deal with the punishment. And whenever the punishment happens, it doesn't go away. Whenever maybe he's thinking that it will be ceased, now his head is mended again. The man is back standing over his head, and he throws it again and crushing him. This is saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is continuing to happen over and over. قَالَ قُلْتُ. He said, I said, قُلْتُ لَهُمَا. I said to the two of them, سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مَا هَذَانِ. Glorified is Allah. Who are these two people? قَالَ هَذَا رَجُلٌ عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنَ وَنَامَ عَنْهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ فِيهِ بِالنَّهَارِ يُفْعَلُ بِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I said to them, Subhanallah, who are these two men? And they told him, and they said, this is a man, pay attention to this narration, عَلَّمُهُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنِ. This is a man whom Allah taught him the Qur'an. وَنَامَ عَنْهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. And he slept on it at nighttime. He slept on it at nighttime. وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ فِيهِ بِالنَّهَارِ And he did not apply it in the daytime. يُفْعَلُ بِهِ إِلَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ This is done to him until the day of resurrection. This is done to him until the day of resurrection. The author, he says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ الَّذِي يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ فَيَرْفُضُهُ وَيَنَامُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ وَيَنَامُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي That this individual, he is a person who had learned the Qur'an, فَيَرْفُضُهُ وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ فَيَرْفُضُهُ That he would take the Qur'an, meaning he would learn the Qur'an and then reject it. What does it mean, يَرْفُضُهُ يعني يَتْرُكُ الْعَمَلَ بِهِ يَجْفُو بِهِ That he would neglect it. يَهْجُرُ الْقُرْآنَ يَهْجُرُ الْقُرْآنَ عَمَلًا And he would neglect the Qur'an. He would abandon the Qur'an. He would turn away from the Qur'an, and meaning from the application. From the application, وَيَنَامُ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ And he will sleep. And he will sleep on the obligatory prayer. He will sleep on the obligatory prayer. How many verses in the Book of Allah? A person who learns the Book of Allah, how many would he memorize and learn? And how many would he recite? وَالْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ So many verses with the order and with the praise and with the mention of the obligation and the greatness and the high lofty status of establishing the prayer. And then a person, he will memorize the likes of these verses and he will learn these noble rulings and this great beneficial law and legislation and then he will leave it. And then he will leave it and turn his back on it and not apply it. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ So this is a great threat and a great warning. A great threat and a great warning from abandoning the Qur'an, being negligent with the Qur'an. A person, if he is guided to the Qur'an, even if he only memorized the Fatiha, or قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, something small from the Book of Allah that he memorized himself, this is a great favor and blessing from Allah. This is a great favor and blessing from Allah to be guided to the deen of Islam, to be guided to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even greater to being guided to the al-aqidah as-salafiyah wa manhaj as-salafi. And then he would abandon that in application. And he would suffice with mere ascription without any evidence or proof for that. Rather, the proof will be against him. So this is a great threat. So a person, first and foremost, he must learn the Qur'an and believe in it. No doubt about that. And strive to memorize whatever he can from that. All of it if possible. Or whatever is easy for him. Alhamdulillah. Learning how to recite it in the best manner, to the best of his ability. But more important, learning how to apply it. Learning the law and legislation that is found. Learning the commandments. Learning the deeds that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And how to perform them properly. And then performing them properly, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, learning the deeds that are displeasing to Allah, that will earn the anger of Allah azza wa jalla, and believing in that, and learning how to avoid that, and striving against one's soul to avoid those actions and deeds out of fear of the anger and the punishment of Allah azza wa jalla. In this manner, a person, he will find the blessing of the Qur'an. He will find the mercy of the Qur'an, and the light of the Qur'an will enter his heart. Would enter his heart by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the one who recites it, a mere recitation, or he claims to believe in it, but he opposes it in application, or he contradicts it in his creed and his belief, or he contradicts it in action and statement and deed, then it will not benefit him. Rather, it will be a proof against him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So all of this is an example of that. So a believer, he must be diligent to learn the Qur'an and to establish it properly in his life. In the narration I mentioned in the beginning, the interpretation of the one who the man standing above him ripping his face, it's mentioned that this person, he was one who يَغْدُو مِنْ بَيْتِهِ فَيَكْذِبُ كِذْبَةً تَبْلُغُ الْأَفَاقِ That this is a person, he will go out of his home in the morning time and he will tell a lie that will reach the horizons. And he will tell a lie that will reach many people and affect many people. This is his punishment. And if you imagine, and though in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how difficult would it be for a person to tell a lie that would reach the horizons? And how easy it is today for someone to tell a lie, and how literally it will reach the horizons. And he can tell a lie and click a button with a voice message or even a text, and it will reach Indonesia, the other side of the world, in moments. And then from there back to America. And from there, all over the world. So lying is a great danger. Lying is a great danger. From the attributes of the hypocrites, this is what was found in there. And those who are being punished in the foreign, in the fornication, in the oven. وَلِيَاذِ بِلَهُمُ الزُّنَاتِ وَالزَّوَانِي. They're the people who committed fornication. And this is their punishment. وَلِيَاذِ بِلَهُ. This is their punishment. وَلِيَاذِ بِلَهُ. And the one who was swimming in the river of blood. And the man is standing on the side, casting rocks into his mouth. Casting rocks into his mouth. Let him go swim around some more and come back. Cast rocks into his mouth like this. This is a person who used to take interest. He used to give interest. وَلِيَاذِ بِلَهُ. Or used to eat the interest, used to take the interest. So these were some of the punishments. The man who was standing there in the garden around him were children. This was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is from the interpretation of that narration. So the thread is clear. The thread is clear. A person, he must learn the Quran and believe in it and follow. And from the most important aspects of following the Quran is following the obligations, the commandments and prohibitions that are found therein. And after the obligation of a tawheed and the prohibition of a shirk, one, he must establish the salah, the obligatory prayer. So to sleep on the obligatory prayer in entirety until the time goes out, this is a lowly way. And there's a great threat with regards to this. And there's a great threat with regards to this. And many times it will happen at Fajr. Many times it will happen at Fajr. And this is not proper and not befitting for a believer to sleep through the Fajr prayer. To sleep through the Fajr prayer until the time goes out and the sun has risen. This is from the example of this. And the one who fell into the likes of this without repenting, this is his outcome and this is what is waiting for him. This is what is waiting for him. So a believer, he must take his soul seriously and likewise take the deen of Allah seriously and strive to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid his anger subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ لِقُرَّاءِ الْبَصْرَةِ. And it's been narrated by Al-Imam Muslim that Abu Musa, يعني Al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه, he said to the Qurra al-Basra. Al-Qurra is the plural of Qari, any of the reciters. And what is intended? Any of the reciters, any initially those who memorized the book of Allah, but also in the time of the companions, radiallahu anhum, and those early generations, the Qurra, they were the ulama. They were the ulama. The people who memorized the Quran and recited the Quran, they were also the scholars and the people of knowledge. So the word Al Qurra is used to refer to those who memorized and recited the Quran, but understood from that the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, the scholars and the students of knowledge. So in this narration, Abu Musa, he said to the Qurra of Al-Basra, neither of this land in Al-Iraq. And the author, again, he's summarizing here, and in the actual wording is mentioned that he said he called them, and he went to them, and there was 300 of them that came. There's 300 of them that came. And it's been narrated by Abu al-Aswad al-Duwari rahimahullah. بعث أبو موسى الأشعري إلى قراء البصرة فدخل عليه 300 رجل. That Abu Musa, he called for the scholars and the students of the Quran, the reciters of the Quran in al-Basra, and 300 men, and he approached him and came. And then he mentioned he says, رضي الله عنه, دخل عليه 300 رجلين قد قرأ القرآن. 300 men entered upon him who had memorized the whole Quran. فقال أنتم خيار أهل البصرة. أنتم خيار أهل البصرة وقراؤهم. He said, رضي الله عنهم, you are the best of the people of Basra, and you are the reciters. And meaning you are the people of knowledge. You are the people of knowledge. And this is great admonition and admonishment. This is great admonition and admonishment. And he calling the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge and informing them of this affair. أنتم خيار أهل البصرة وقراؤهم. You are the best of the people of Basra. And the people of knowledge, the people of Quran, the people of Hadith, the people of the Sunnah, the students and the scholars, they're the best of the people. And whenever they're sincere and whenever they're truthful, they're the best of the people. But if they're insincere and they're not truthful, they will be the worst of people. They'll be the worst of people. They'll be the lowest of the low. Rather, they'll be from those who are the first to be cast into the hellfire. You understand that part? You understand that they'll either be the best of the best or the worst, or from the worst of the worst. Any of the believers. So he's reminding them of this affair. Antum أنتم قراء البصرة خيار أهل البصرة. You're the best. You're the scholars. You're the students of knowledge. You're the people of Quran. You're the people of Hadith. Pay attention. Pay attention. He said, رضي الله عنه, فتلوه ولا يطلن عليكم الأمد فتكسوا قلوبكم كما قاست قلوب من قبلكم كما قاست قلوب من قبلكم. He said to him, so he said to them, رضي الله عنهم, فتلوه ولا يطلن عليكم الأمد. You should recite. Recite the book of Allah. Recite the book of Allah, but do not let a long period pass over you until your hearts become hard like the hearts of those who have preceded you. Like the hearts of those who have preceded you. So he advised them, رضي الله عنه أبو موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه, he advised them, he said, فَتْلُوهُ وَلَا يَطُلَّنَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَمَدِ فَتَكْسُوا قُلُوبُكُمْ كَمَا قَسَتْ قُلُوبُ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. That you should recite it. You know, recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, but do not let a long period pass by and cause your hearts to become hardened as the hearts of those who before you were hardened. And meaning, referring to the children of Israel, that they used to read the book and recite the Torah, and they would apply it likewise and abide by it until some time passed, and they become negligent. They become negligent in the application of the Torah, and eventually they exchanged it, and they changed it, and they concealed much of that which was revealed as a means to mislead and manipulate the people, and their hearts became hard because of this. And their hearts became hard because of this. So Abu Musa, he's referring to this issue, and he's warning the reciters and the people of the Quran in his time. Fatluhu, fatluhu, you're the best of the people of Basra. You're the people of Quran. You're the reciters and the people of knowledge. Fatluhu, so therefore recite it. Fatluhu, for therefore recite it. We have taken this word in our previous classes, specifically in the introduction to this particular work. Fatluhu, this is from a tilawa, or it could be from a tulu. يعني فتلوه, recite it. يعني اقرأوه, this could be the meaning. But likewise, فتلوه بمعنى اتبعوه واعملوا بما فيه. So the meaning of tilawah has more than one meaning. And the true tilawah, a tilawah haqqan, is to recite it and to read it, to reflect upon it and strive to understand and to apply it. And to apply it. And to apply it. The true recitation is to follow it. الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ يعني يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتباعه. فتلوه. يعني فتروه فقرأوه واتبعوا ما فيه واتبعوا ما فيه. This is his advice, and this is advice for them. Recite it, and he recite it, study it, and learn it, and follow it, and follow it. And do not let a time, do not let a long period pass over you. Do not let a long period pass over you till you become negligent with regards to the recitation and the application, with regards to the recitation and the application, or else your hearts will become hardened. And the hard-hearted does not accept guidance. And the hard heart does not accept the light of the Quran, the mercy, and it's locked for the avenues of mercy. And mercy will not enter the heart that is hard. And the light and blessing and benefit and guidance cannot enter into a heart that is hard. And if it's not cured and dealt with in a timely manner, then it will become sealed and locked. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. And a person, he'll become completely misguided. And a person, he'll become completely misguided. So this narration here, he says, it's narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. It's narrated by Al-Imam Muslim. After this, he says, وَعَنِ بِنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَمَّا طَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَاسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَاخْتَرَعُوا كِتَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ اسْتَحْرَتْهُ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَكَانَ الْحَقُّ يحور بينهم وكان الحق يحور بينهم وبين كثير من شهواتهم حتى نبذوا كتاب الله وراء ظهورهم. He said, he mentioned the narration from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he said, indeed, the children of Israel, whenever a long period passed by them and he passed over them, their hearts became hard. Their hearts became hard, and then they themselves innovated a book they found to be nice. And they innovated a book themselves, and they liked it, and they preferred it. They innovated a book that they had written themselves, that they had written with themselves, claiming that it's from the book of Allah, claiming that it's from the revelation, from the legislation of Allah, and it was innovated, wa'iyadhu billah. And the truth used to come between them and between their lusts until the extent they cast the book of Allah behind their backs. Until the extent that they cast the book of Allah behind their backs. إِنَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَمَّا طَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَاسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَاخْتَرَعُوا كِتَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ اسْتَحْرَتْهُ أَنفُسُهُمْ. that indeed the children of Israel, whenever a time passed by them, and they did not take themselves to account, they did not take their religion seriously, they became negligent with regards to the law that is found in the book that was revealed to them and the application of that, and they started to show preference for the worldly life. They started to show preference for the worldly life. At this time, what happened? فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So whenever the heart became hard, what did they do? They innovated a new book. Well, they innovated a new book. وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَاتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And they're lying. They're lying. This is something that Allah had established in His book and clarified, that they innovated books and they added additions in the religion and they concealed much of the truth for worldly gain. يَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Purchasing by way of that a cheap price, a miserable price. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And this was the way of Bani Israel. They innovated a new book and a new source of guidance, a new source of law and legislation, other than that which was revealed to them and that which their prophet came with, and they liked it. And they liked it. They thought it to be good, and they praised it. And they began to prefer it over the revelation that was revealed to them. Over the revelation that was revealed to them. Why? He says, وَكَانَ الْحَقُّ يَحُورُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ كَثِيرٍ مِنْ شَهَوَاتِهِمْ. Because the truth used to come between them and much of their lust and desires. Much of their lust and desires. Many things that they want to do, that they lust for, or that they're involved in, affairs that they're engaged in, their livelihood is based upon. If they read what their Lord had mentioned and legislated in their book, it's contrary and not allowed. It's contrary and not allowed. So therefore, the truth would come between them and their desires, come between them and their desires. And they preferred their desires. حَتَّى نَبَذُوا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ. Until they cast the book of Allah behind their back. Until they cast the book of Allah behind their back. This issue here and many other issues are mentioned in the book of Allah about Bani Israel, the story of Bani Israel and the issues that they went through and that Musa alayhi salam went through with them, and the stories of the prophets of Bani Israel and how they acted and the problems that they faced and the ills that they had and how they became misguided until the anger of Allah befell them. Until the anger of Allah befell them. This is repeated time after time in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla with the great wisdom to learn these traits and characteristics as a warning for the believers to not be like them. To not be like them. To not be. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. This is in reference to this verse here, these issues that we're discussing. And بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, in our class tomorrow, we'll take that verse, the verse in Surah Al-Hadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reprimanded the believers. He reprimanded the believers with this verse. He said, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has not the time come that the believers will fear, that the hearts of the believers will be humble to the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla and that which is revealed from the truth? And we discuss this issue, inshallah, in our class tomorrow. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.